Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
As we get a lot to chat about locally and nationally, the big story of this hour is that the president went after George Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist. That makes me very, very happy. That big story brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria. You have a choice when it comes to dental care. So when it comes to complicated dental care, make sure that you go to my guy, the best, and that is Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com, VanariaDental.com, VenariaDental.com, two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So the president was talking about George Stephanopoulos, who you remember he he had an exchange with J.D. Vance, and I played you the clip yesterday. And basically, J.D. Vance said to him, you know, George, you've got the vice president here. We're in the midst of this government shutdown, and all you keep bringing up is this allegation against Tom Holman when there's no evidence of this. And then George Stephanopoulos was saying, well, he was caught on tape by the FBI, and they're that, where is that? Where is that evidence? Where is that? And then George Stephanopoulos just abruptly cuts the break and cuts his mic and then moves on to another guest, to the vice president of the United States of America. And so the president had the following to say about the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. This is cut number 4. Take a listen.
But I just want to say it's a pleasure to be with you, and we're going to have lunch, and we'll take a couple of questions from the news, and I'm sure they'll be extremely non-hostile and friendly. Like, J.D. went through a very friendly interview with George Stephanopoulos, who was nice enough to pay me $16 million the last time we came. He had to pay $16 million to me, which was good. It was worth having somebody lie. If you get $16 million, that's good. But J.D. had a very nasty person interviewing him, and we can't let that happen. Just as inappropriate to cut off a highly respected vice president of the United States mid-sentence. I guess it's one way to win an argument. That was the only way he was going to win the argument. So it was pretty inappropriate. I want to tell you that.
And then he also went after ABC News, calling them fake news. Cut number 5.
First of all, congratulations.
I don't take questions from ABC fake news. After what you did with Stephanopoulos to the vice president of the United States, I don't take questions from ABC fake news. Brian, go ahead.
Yes.
Look, that's why I've been calling George Stephanopoulos the unbiased journalist for years, because he's not unbiased and he's not a journalist. We've made that joke on this show forever about George Stephanopoulos. I mean, only ABC hires as their chief political guy. I have no problem if George Stephanopoulos is on there as George Stephanopoulos, and it's very clear that he's a Democrat operative and a Democrat strategist, and I have no problem with that. That's how when I'm on TV, they don't hide from the fact that I'm a Republican strategist. They don't hide from the fact that I'm a conservative talk show host. I don't go on there and pretend to be this objective, unbiased journalist. That's what I have a problem with. Now, obviously, everybody has bias in life. But you can't sit there and say that the chief political guy on your network and act like he wasn't the guy who ran the communications for the White House, for Bill Clinton's White House, and that he doesn't give coded messages to Democrats to tell them how to run the operation. Like, stop. Give me a break. Just be honest. Just say George Stephanopoulos is George Stephanopoulos. He is a Democrat operative and he's here in our network to give us a perspective as being a Democrat strategist, a former Democrat strategist, whatever you want to call him. But this whole, I can just reinvent myself, and now I'm a journalist. I'm an unbiased journalist now. I'm the chief political guy. And if they had him on Good Morning America and they never had him do politics, okay, well, then you could say the guy's reinvented himself. He's just on Good Morning America and he does cooking segments. And every now and then he talks about the latest ride at Disney World since, you know, Disney owns ABC and obviously China owns Disney. So I mean, that'd be fine, but they don't do that. He goes on there to give political analysis as the political guy conducting the interviews on the supposedly neutral ABC This Week with George Stephanopoulos, and there's nothing neutral about it. Then President Trump was asked about Alyssa Farah Griffin, who once said that if he was able to bring the hostages home, she's on The View now. She used to be pro-Trump, and now she hates Trump. And she said if he were to bring the hostages home, she would wear a MAGA hat the entire episode of The View. What she said. She said that about a year ago. Mrs. President Trump responding to that. Cut number six.
Alyssa Farah, she is one of the hosts on ABC's show, The View. She said a while back, I'll quote, "If Trump gets the Israeli hostages out, I promise I will wear a MAGA hat for one day on this show and say thank you for doing it." Your response.
Well, did she put the hat on?
Well, she hasn't got the hat yet.
Who is it? Which one?
Alyssa Farah.
Well, she used to work for me. So she used to work here. I'll tell you about Alyssa. She worked here. She gave me the most beautiful letter when, you know, the administration, the time came up, the election was rigged, I left. She gave me the most beautiful letter you've ever seen. I was a great president. What a great job. Some of the letters have been quoted. This is Alyssa, who I never thought was very outstanding. I figured she would not make it. And she didn't have a big role here either. And then we had January 6th, and she left after that or before that. But she gave me the most beautiful letters. And then even months after she left, and while we weren't here any longer, she sent another letter, glowing letter, beautiful letter. And then she got hired by The View, and they gave her a couple of bucks, and she changed her view very quickly. I never thought she'd make it. Never thought she had what it took in any way. You know what that means. But she's on The View. But it just shows what a fraud The View is, because this woman gave me letters and statements. She said I was the greatest president in her lifetime. Now, she's not that old, so I didn't consider it a great compliment, but I've had better.
Can we send her a hat?
Well, recently I've had the greatest president of them all. I like that much better.
Now, will she wear the hat? That's the question. Will she wear the hat? Will she honor her commitment? We shall see. We shall see. And Argentina, Javier Milei, who is the greatest. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He's a libertarian. His economic policies have saved that country. That country was in absolute ruin. It was in ruin. Years of state ownership of businesses, years of spending beyond their means. And Javier Milei has been able to turn that country around. And he was able to do it very quickly. I mean, it's been remarkable. And he's an inspiration to other world leaders, too. Because you would have said, I mean, this guy can't save Argentina. There's nothing saving Argentina. There's no way to do it. It's just that gone. It's that completely gone. The state owned everything. They were just completely in debt. And he came in with his very principled libertarian economic philosophy of getting the government out of the private sector, of cutting spending, of shutting down government agencies. I mean, DOGE, but actually fulfilling DOGE. Like, DOGE outlined a lot of great things, but then they never followed up on it, mainly because Congress has no cojones. You know, there's only so much you can cut vis-a-vis the executive branch. You got to get rid of a lot of these departments and agencies. You got to codify the stuff into law. Well, the difference is that Milei didn't get into Argentina and just identify the problem and go, oh, look, here's all this waste. Here's all this abuse. Here's all this government ownership of private property and private entities and the rail systems and everything Mandami wants to do in New York. Imagine it like that. That was Argentina, but for an entire country. So you're billions of dollars in debt and it looks completely hopeless. And he gets in there and he turns this country around. It's one of the most inspirational stories ever of what you can accomplish when you get somebody in there who believes in true free market capitalism. I don't mean the kind of crony capitalism that we have far too often in this country, where you have people that say those things and then they get in there and then they use government spending for their pet projects and they direct money. No, I mean, you really follow through with that and say, I'm going to be true to this notion that the government is getting out of all of these sectors and we're going to let the private economy do its thing. We're going to get rid of regulations that stifle the private sector. And then we're going to see what happens because we know it's going to happen. This is one thing to say that. And people say that all the time. They go, well, you know, capitalism works, but then they don't really want to try it. It's almost like they're afraid to. So they keep the reins of government on things far too long. And then it doesn't work, and they turn around and they go, well, you see, now we tried it. And then some other socialist comes along and says, well, we need to have more rent-controlled housing and more government-run grocery stores and more government-owned buses and this and that. And you go, but it doesn't work. And they go, well, the answer is we need more of it. No, what if you actually got government out of these industries, got government out of these sectors? They go, well, it can't work because poor people need government funding. But do you believe that capitalism is going to lift people out of poverty or not? Do you believe that or not? Do you believe it's going to restore fiscal sanity or not? If you don't believe it, then stop pretending like you do. Anyway, here's the president talking about Javier Milei and a $20 billion U.S. loan to the country because they are at risk of financial collapse right now. Cut number one.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great honor to have the leader of Argentina, a place that I love, I've been to, and one of the most beautiful places in the world, president. And I really want to thank you very much. He's MAGA all the way. It's make Argentina great again. I heard about him when he was campaigning and even before his campaign. He's a great economist and he was saying a lot of very correct things. And he was very much in a conservative mode. And I heard all about you as you were running and even before you were running, because as a tremendously talented economist, you were getting a lot of good write-ups. And I appreciated that. But he was make Argentina great again. It worked. I actually sent him some hats for his early part of the campaign. And then he called me. He wanted a lot more. And I said, when does it stop? When will it stop? And it stopped with him winning. And he's become very popular. And he's on the verge of a breakthrough, I think. I think he's really on the verge of tremendous economic success. And I know that Scott Bessent is helping. And our great Scott is doing a job. And he feels very strongly about it.
So their inflation rate was over 12%. And the country had taken out this loan of $45 billion back in 2018, before he got there. And it was a disaster because, again, they took out this money and then they were just spending money they didn't have. And like anything else, think about this. I mean, you take out a loan and then you can't pay it back, but you don't stop spending. You just keep spending more and more of it. Inflation rate was over 12%. He gets in there and he cuts it. I mean, it's just been remarkable. But now the United States is going to help him, and we believe that this guy will actually be able to pay the money back, unlike in the past where that money just disappeared. The other problem, too, with Argentina was the absolute corruption in that country. Massive amounts of corruption in Argentina. This is cut number two.
Yes, sir. The president is fighting 100 years of bad economic history and policy, and is...
Both presidents. We're fighting bad. I thought he was talking about the U.S. president.
So what the Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, is saying there is that Argentina and Javier Milei fighting 100 years of bad economic policy. Very bad economic policy. It was a disaster. I think without him, I mean, I don't know what the country would be like. But he's turning it around. It doesn't happen overnight. He's turning it around. And I'm optimistic that his model for cutting inflation, his model for getting government out of things, and his model for actually trying to pay down debt versus just ignore it, which then causes your economy's currency to just be worthless and meaningless is a positive one. It's what has to happen. Now, the United States backing them on this is fine. I mean, I think it's better than the IMF, which is what where he got the first they got the first loan from 7 years ago. And he also said, I don't think you should be doing much business with China. This is the president to Javier Milei today, cut number seven.
I don't think you should be doing business much with, you can do some trade, but you certainly shouldn't be doing beyond that. Certainly shouldn't be doing anything having to do with the military with China. And if that's what's happening, I'd be very upset about that. Yeah.
Now, in our country, we still have Democrats who spend money that they don't have. They're our money. They spend our money that we don't have. And today, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, came out and blasted Democrats and their insane list of demands to end the government shutdown. I talked a little bit about this with Wilk Chamberlain earlier. Some of these demands are just absolutely insane. I mean, just nuts. And the Speaker came out today. It was funny, too, because he came out a little bit after 10. My hit on Fox News was at 10:40. And there's always that panic, that moment where you go, uh-oh, am I getting bumped today? Is this, and I'm, in my mind, I'm watching the Speaker, because I know I got to talk about it later, but I'm watching and I'm going, speed it up here, Mike. Let's go. Let's zip it. But luckily, it wasn't very long. Thank God. This is some of the Democrats' spending that they want, which you don't hear about, which they don't really talk about. And again, the reason why I'm upset that the government is going to, they want to reopen, we're not cutting anything. And the people that should be most upset right now is we're keeping the Biden era levels of spending are people like me and you, if you're conservative and you're fiscally conservative, because we're not cutting anything. We found all this Doge money. We found all this waste, but we're not cutting it, at least not now. We're just literally keeping the government open and then just going, okay, now we'll worry about it down the road. And I'm furious about that. I think we all are. But it's the Democrats are not, it's not as if the Democrats are refusing to reopen the government because they're suddenly have turned into fiscal conservatives. And now they want to see how fiscally conservative they can get. And they're looking to cut all these programs. No, this whole thing about keeping the government shut down, I do believe is Chuck Schumer, because they have this No Kings rally coming up. No Kings rally. The other day, we're in Wildwood for Jack Cittarelli, and the plane flies overhead with the banner, No Kings, Vote Blue. There's nobody on the beach because it's freaking October. So we're the target audience for that. People that came out on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening, to support Jack Cittarelli, the Republican nominee for governor. And they wasted money. It's not Democrats waste money. They waste money renting a plane, flying a banner over our heads to what? Stick it to us? I mean, I would have had more respect for them if the banner just had a giant middle finger on it. I would have respected that. Because then it would have been like, all right, they decided to spend money to just give us the finger. Like, okay, that's fine. I get that. But they spend money, they hire a plane, they get a banner, and the banner says, No Kings, Vote Blue. As if any single person, anyone in that crowd is going to turn around and go, oh, you know what? I know I'm here in Wildwood. I know I came to the Seaport Pier in North Wildwood to support Jack. I know that I want to vote, but now that I saw this banner, now that I see this, oh, I'm definitely voting blue now. Now, please. Would have been a whole lot better to me if the banner just said, get the hell off the beach, even though we weren't on the beach. But at least that would have been more sincere. But anyway, here's the Speaker going through some of the insane funding, cut number 13.
And they would send $500 million to liberal news outlets by refunding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It would also restore up to $5 billion of American taxpayer funds for wasteful spending for international projects. Here's a couple of examples. This is in their legislation, their counterproposal on the CR to keep the lights open. This is what they want to do. They want to spend $24.6 million of your hard-earned dollars as a taxpayer for climate resilience in Honduras. They want to spend $13.4 million for civic engagement in Zimbabwe. They want to send $3.9 million for LGBTQI+ democracy grants in the Western Balkans. They want to spend $2.9 million of your dollars for desert locust risk reduction in the Horn of Africa, and $2 million for, quote, organizing for feminist democratic principles in Africa. We are not doing that.
We are not doing that. All right, quick break here as we continue along the show. And we're waiting for the president to come out and award the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Charlie Kirk. I see the vice president now in the Rose Garden, which is paved now, so they have to worry about people stepping in mud and grass. Looks like they're getting ready to start pretty soon. So let me tell you about my friends at Tri-County Auto and the great people over there. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and Tri-County Toyota. One great dealership owned by a wonderful family, the Krieger family. And, you know, I love the fact that they are our official car sponsor for the show. I think it's fantastic. I really do. And if you want to buy American, Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, they have some amazing specials right now. And don't forget, under the One Big Beautiful Bill, you are allowed to deduct the interest on that on your taxes, which is great. Now, I mean, great specials like the Pacifica, the Ram 1500. So the Dodge Ram 1500, 2025, 0% APR financing for 72 months. 0%. That's pretty great for a great American-made truck. And this thing is a beast, as you know. You'll love a Jeep Wrangler. I have a Jeep Wrangler. I love it. I when the summer's warm, you know, the weather's warm, and you take the top off, you have freedom panels, so you can take those off pretty easily. But you lift the whole top off, and it's just great. Take the doors off, get it on the beach. It's great. You can get a 2025 Jeep Wrangler Sport. You can lease that. $454 a month for 36 months, $39.95 due at signing. Just go to tricounty.com and see all the specials. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Tri-County Toyota. Incredible specials, incredible incentives, wonderful service department. They even have certified previously owned vehicles as well. And the people at Tri-County are the best. They support this show. They support our station. They'll give you an incredible experience without giving you the pressure. So go see it today. Just go to tricounty.com or go see them. They're right off of 422. Easy to get to. King of Prussia, the main line, from wherever. Limerick, I mean, it's easy to get to and worth the trip. Believe me, worth the trip to be with great people who take great care of us. They have the Grand Cherokee L or the 2025 Ram 1500. You can finance that at 0% APR for 60 months. 2025 Jeep Grand Cherokee L or the 2026 Ram 1500. These are amazing specials, amazing opportunities with my great friends at Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, tricounty.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, we are waiting the White House ceremony to honor Charlie Kirk. That should be happening momentarily. This is the awarding of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Obviously, today's Charlie Kirk's birthday. He would have been 32 years old today. So, it's fitting that they're doing it today. And the president said he was going to do this today and that his wife, Erica, would accept the Presidential Medal of Freedom on his behalf. So we're waiting for that to get started at the White House. We'll bring it to you live, obviously. Thanks again for coming out to the Jack Carr event last night. If you joined us, it was great. And we had a ton of fun. Jack is the man. He's just a great guy. You know, talking about the Department of War and the change from Department of Defense to the Department of War. A great conversation about that last night. And as he was explaining it, and he's a very humble guy, I realized that this whole thing was his idea. And he was talking about that fact that, you know, in his new book, Cry Havoc, and in his other books, they talk about how when the change was made from the Department of War to the Department of Defense is when really the defense industrial complex got out of control. And the generals who lose wars get in no trouble whatsoever. They fail upward. The soldier that loses a rifle in the field, that person is actually punished. The general, the bureaucrats, the people that lose the wars, nothing happens to them. They're fine. Nothing happens to them. But the change that occurred from Department of War to Department of Defense, Jack really got into how that was kind of the beginning of that, of this monstrosity that has grown at the Pentagon. And so he was saying that he mentioned it to a friend, and I think without saying it, he was referring to Tulsi, because Tulsi is DNI director, and then now it is the Department of War. So Jack, being a humble guy, didn't exactly say that it was his idea, but he also kind of jokingly said it was his idea, but I think definitely it was his idea. It was probably something that Tulsi could understand, being a lieutenant colonel in the Army National, or the, excuse me, the United States Army Reserve. You could definitely understand how she would appreciate that. And she's obviously been a person who's been outspoken against war and the bloating of the bureaucracy and everything else. And by the way, Justin, what's going on with the feed at the White House? Are you seeing this? The feed on the TV?
Yeah, on Fox. They're just kind of, everybody's just standing around.
No, I'm seeing it go in and out, like the colors. Is that happening on your end?
No. Are you watching it on Fox on your end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have it up on in studio on Fox, and everything seems normal. I haven't seen the colors.
It seems like the video's cutting out, but that, again, it could be on my end. All right, so just, I can't see anything. I'm just seeing color bars go up and down like it's an old broadcast over the airwaves from the 1940s. So just give me a heads up when they start.
Yeah, as soon as I see the Donald, I'll let you know.
Okay, great. Excellent. In the meantime, in New Jersey, Jack Cittarelli is doing great. He really is. And Mikey Sherrill, the Democrat candidate for New Jersey governor, doubling down on the claims that Jack Cittarelli is a murderer, a mass murderer who's killed millions of people, not millions, but tens of thousands of people. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And she said this at the debate, and I was talking to some buddies of mine over the weekend about this. We were just kind of guys I've known in politics for a long time. And I said to them, do you think that's one and done? Do you think that what Mikey Sherrill said about Jack Cittarelli, he had printed out these pamphlets, his company was hired to print out these pamphlets for pharmaceutical company, and to create an app so that people who were looking for pain management and pain treatment could see the various options. He didn't prescribe any drugs to anyone. He didn't lie about anything. He just was contracted to do a job. Pharmaceutical companies pay a lot of people, not only their employees, but their vendors, their contractors. They advertise on television. Obviously, there's many different aspects of people that work there in capacities as either independent contractors or employees. And I was saying to these guys, do you think that Mikey Sherrill is going to bring that up again? Or is that a one-off? And they said, nah, it's a one-off. She said it at the debate, and that's it. She'll never bring it up again. And I said, all right, I guess that makes sense. Now, not a lot of people watch the debate. It's such a ridiculous allegation. She says it, and then figure, all right, that's the end of it. Then, lo and behold, as I'm going up to New York today, my car comes to pick me up a little before 7. I'm driving up there, and I get my topics for today for America's Newsroom. And I'm looking at the topic of this, and I'm going, oh, my God. Like, Mikey Sherrill's doubling down on this. And, you know, for me, when I wind up, last night we had the Jack Carr event. I wasn't really paying attention to what Mikey Sherrill was doing. So I saw this race. I saw this story about this. And I said, okay, well, is this real? Because I can't imagine she'd be that stupid to still go down this road. And sure enough, she is going down this road of talking about Jack Cittarelli being a basically mass murderer for working in the pharmaceutical industry. And the story here is that Chris Russell, who is a consultant for Jack Cittarelli, they blasted her over the slanderous claim that he profited from the opioid deaths. And the final day is closing in on an especially messy New Jersey gubernatorial election. Republican candidate Jack Chiarelli's campaign slammed the Democrat opponent, Mikey Sherrill, for pushing a narrative that he killed tens of thousands of people. And that's what she said at the debate. At that debate, she accused Chiarelli of being responsible for printing propaganda via the medical publishing company he founded. So think about this now. You have a medical publishing company. The pharmaceutical companies hire you to print brochures, to print whatever it is. They pay you. You print those things. You're responsible for people dying or getting addicted to opioids. What I said on the show today is what I've been saying. So does that mean that the electric company who provided power to the pharmaceutical companies, the truck drivers, all the people that work there, the people that made the pill bottles, are they all mass murderers? Are they all guilty of tens of thousands of deaths? Blood on their hands? It's ridiculous. Mikey Sherrill made those claims during the debate. She said, quote, Jack made millions, the opioid companies made billions, and thousands of New Jerseyans were dying. So she had a press conference, and she doubled down at the press conference, saying it after the debate. And I couldn't believe my friggin' mind. I said, it's one thing to say this on a debate stage that nobody really, not a lot of people watch these debates, to be honest. I watch them. We play clips on the show. You may watch it because you're interested in this. But the viewership for these things is very low. Most people don't even know where to find them. Now, they run them on obscure stations. This one happened to be ABC 7, but they run them at like 7 o'clock at night. So the viewership is low. This is not a presidential debate at 9 p.m. And then the next day, the whole country is talking about it. So I figured, all right, she makes this claim, stupid, outrageous, over the top, desperate, but clinging for something, for anything, and then just never mentions it again. And that's what me and my buddies were talking about over the weekend. We figured she'll never mention it again. It's such an over the top allegation that the average person with a brain is going to see through that and go, that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, give me a break. But nope. She has a press conference and doubles down on it again. So then the spotlight shines right back on her, and you turn around and you go, really? So the campaign said her reckless and defamatory claim that Jack killed tens of thousands of people, including children, has been roundly criticized by members of the press, legal scholars, and people in both parties. Well, it doesn't take a legal scholar to figure out the fact that you don't kill anybody by printing a marketing material. And if you're going to go down that road, then that means that every doctor who ever gave a prescription to anybody for an opioid is a murderer. Whether the person died or not, they were engaging in murder. If you're going to say that, and also the people that printed the pharmaceutical pads. Like, some company makes those pads, those little script pads the doctors write the scripts on. Some company made those too. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. The president's coming out with Erica Kirk by his side, and we'll begin this ceremony here. So quick break, coming right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready.
maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the president is speaking. We're going to start it from the beginning for you. Is awarding the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Charlie Kirk on what would have been today his 32nd birthday. This is a big deal, obviously, and this is a huge moment, something the president said he was going to do on Charlie's birthday. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is the highest medal that the president can bestow upon a civilian, highest civilian honor, and it's a big deal. Obviously, he bestowed it to Rush Limbaugh, you remember, before Rush passed away. He did that at the State of the Union address a few years ago. One of the last things that, you know, Rush was ever to receive in his life. So very fitting that he gives this to Charlie, who many consider to be the Rush Limbaugh of their generation. So let's jump into the White House now here live on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD as it begins a few moments ago. So, and it'll be live as it goes. Okay, go ahead.
The first time we've been at the new and improved Rose Garden, and people are loving it. They're loving it like they've not loved a lot of things. We have the Presidential Walk of Fame, which you just saw, and that just opened. We wanted to get it open for this occasion. We were hoping we were able to get outside, and the weather allowed us to. It was supposed to be a terrible rainy day, I was telling Eric, and God was watching, and he didn't want that for Charlie. He just didn't want that. So that's really beautiful. It couldn't be more beautiful. Today we're here to honor and remember a fearless warrior for liberty, beloved leader who galvanized the next generation like nobody I've ever seen before, and an American patriot of the deepest conviction, the finest quality and the highest caliber, the late, great Charlie Kirk. Five weeks ago, our nation was robbed of this extraordinary champion. He was a champion in every way. I got to know him so well. He didn't like losing. And he was able to fight people that were enemies. And he didn't necessarily love those enemies so much. You know, I heard he loved his enemies. And I said, wait a minute, is that the same Charlie that I know? I'm not sure. But I didn't want to get into it. But it was a horrible, heinous, demonic act of murder. He was assassinated in the prime of his life for boldly speaking the truth, for living his faith and relentlessly fighting for a better and stronger America. He loved this country. And that's why this afternoon it's my privilege to posthumously award Charles James Kirk our nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Thank you. As you know, only hours ago, I returned from a very historic trip to secure peace in the Middle East. People said that couldn't be done. Charlie felt it could be done. Charlie felt it could be done. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. But I raced back halfway around the globe. I was going to call Erica and say, Erica, could you maybe move it to Friday? And I didn't have the courage to call. But you know why I didn't call? Because I heard today was Charlie's birthday. And I said, you know, now we, that was a definite. And I said, we're going to have to forget about some of those very big, very rich countries that expected me to be there. And I can tell you, based on the length of that flight, I wouldn't want to go back tomorrow. But I would not have missed this moment for anything in the world. Nothing. And it's a very important time for our country. And our country is doing so well. It's never done better. We are a country with almost now $18 trillion of investment coming in. Nobody's ever seen anything like that. Previous administration had less than $1 trillion for 4 years. We have more than 18. It'll be much more than 20 by the time the year. More than $20 trillion. Has never been a country in the world that had anything like that. What's happened to our country is incredible in a short period of time. Charlie was a big person for sir, can we close up those borders, please, a little bit? You know, they're really leaking badly. I said, Charlie, I haven't gotten there yet. But, you know, it came out last 4 months. Literally nobody was allowed into our country. And the only people that were allowed in were people that came in legally. The borders are absolutely stone cold closed. And they reported zero, 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 and zero. So that's pretty good. But he was a big believer. He wanted people in the country more than I did, frankly. He wanted them to come in legally. And he got his wish. October 14th is Charlie's birthday, and he should have been turning 32 years old. I tell you, when I first met him, he was like 22. And I said, boy, he's awfully young, but I thought he was older than that. You know, he looked a little bit older than his age. That's okay. You know, that's not good when you're old, but when you're young, it's great. He had the best of all things, but he was special. But instead, Charlie is attaining a far more important milestone. We're entering his name forever into the eternal roster of true American heroes. He's a true American hero, an amazing person, way, way beyond his years. And I'm honored to be joined by a woman who has endured unspeakable hardship with unbelievable strength, and that's Charlie's widow, Erica. And I just want to thank you, Erica. He loved you so much. I was with him. Oh, please. Thank you, darling. Thank you. I was with him before I met Erica, and he told me he was going to get married. He said, you won't believe how beautiful she is. I said, well, then now that I meet her, he's right. But then he also said, and you know what? She's like the smartest person I know. See, they do go together on occasion. Not often. Not often. But on occasion they go together. But he was in love with you. He was deeply in love with you. It's great. Erica, your love and courage have been an inspiration to all of us, and we will always be here for you, and we're always going to be here for your gorgeous, beautiful children. And we'll never forget what your family has sacrificed for our country. Man loved our country. When things were going badly for our country, he was so, as you know, angry. He would get angry because he said it doesn't have to be that way. We're also pleased to be joined by an incredible group of Charlie's friends, very powerful friends, actually. And some not so powerful, and they're actually better people, okay? I know them all. They're the less powerful ones. I have to tell you that, all of you power guys down here. The best ones in the group are the ones that are less successful, but that happens too. No, they're all great, and they're here. And let's start with Erica's father. Where is Erica's father? Where are you? Where are you, Dad? Oh, look at him. Well, I want to get a hat like that too. I like that. How are you? Nice to see you again. Thanks as well to Vice President J.D. Vance, who's been fantastic. J.D., thank you very much. Great. Doing a great job. Did a great job on Sunday with George Slapidopoulos. Put him away pretty good. Second Lady, who's a phenomenal woman, Usha Vance. Thank you very much, Usha. Thank you very much. Great woman. President of Argentina. He wanted to be here. That's Argentina's a serious flight, right? And he's become a superstar, and he's doing amazing things. It's he's a MAGA person, but it's make Argentina great again. That's what he does, right? And I want you to stand, please, Javier. Javier Milei. Doing a great job. Thank you very much. Many members of my cabinet are here, just about all of them are here. I won't go into every single one of them, but I'll announce a few of the people that have really turned this country around and helped me. Incredible people. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Where is Mike? Mike, what a job you're doing, Mike. What a job you're doing. And I watched you this morning, and you're in there trying to say, look, just let the country open. Everything will be fine. We're dealing with some radical left lunatics. And I just wish Charlie was here to fight us. I think the fight would have been over already. He would have had a march on the Capitol by people whose average age is about 21, because there's nobody that had that relationship with young people. Right, Mike? So thank you, Mike, for being here. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise. Steve, thank you very much. Brave, a brave guy and a friend. House Majority Whip, another terrific man, Tom Emmer. Tom. Thank you, Tom. Senate Majority Whip, John Barrasso. John, thank you very much. You have all these senators. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not going to read all their names. I'll be reading all day. We'll be talking about Charlie in about 45 minutes from now. We can't do that. So all of the senators, there's so many of you. Thank you very much. I do want to thank Senator Thune for doing a terrific job. He's really been leading properly. Do you agree, Mike? The team, the two of these guys have been fantastic. So to Senator Thune, I want to thank you very much. Incredible job. Watched him this morning, and he was out there pounding him this morning on television, too. And John Barrasso, thank you for the work you've done, and congratulations on your success. But I want to thank you all and all of the Congress people that are here. And I see we have our Attorney General here, so, and you are doing a fantastic job. Thank you very much, Pam. Thank you. Thank you very much. We have everybody. Wow, that's incredible. Okay, I'm not going to do any more. I'm going to be here too long, but I just want to thank you. You have given him such support, but he always gave you such support. That's why you're here. And very unusual. Charles James Kirk was a visionary and one of the greatest figures of his generation. He was truly an amazing figure. And growing leaps and bounds, he knew that the fight to preserve our heritage is waged not only on the battlefield and in the halls of power, of which we have tremendous power here, including the head of a place called War. We call it now War. We had defense. We had our Secretary of Defense. Now we have a Secretary of War. And somehow I think it's more emblematic, and hopefully we'll never have to use war. But the fact that we're ready is very good. Peace through strength is very important. But also in the hearts of our nation's youth, that's where Charlie rode strongest.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.